Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. It's exciting to be with you. And some of you know who we are, and some of you don't. Most of you know who we are, but I'm just that Amish boy from Kelowna, Iowa. We live in Kelowna, Iowa. Was born and raised in an Amish home. We had running water only if you took a bucket and ran with it. I've told you that joke before. And we didn't have an indoor bathroom. We had a little porcelain potty upstairs, and when it was cold in the wintertime, it would freeze. So we've seen some bad times, but we have experienced some great times. And we believe for the church, for you, and for us, the great times are before us. I have the date. On 8/21/21, I woke in the morning, and I was thinking about the cross, the three crosses. The Lord put this in my mind, so we have a little sermonette before the sermon this morning, if you'll endure with me. But there's two men, two thieves next to Jesus, right? The one was, we would say, belligerent, and the other one was very humble. Three crosses, three people, and all were going to die in the next few hours. They put an inscription above Jesus, over him written in three different languages, Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, and it said, "This is the King of the Jews." The answer to all of the Jews' problems, they thought, was hanging on a cross, dying. They rejected him for a prisoner, a murderer named Barabbas. They also said to Pilate, who could not find fault in Jesus, and who Pilate washed his hands before the crowd, they said, "His blood be upon us and our children." The mob said, "Let his blood be on us and our children." And through the years, we've seen what has happened from those words, very words. If you've lived in the Middle East, you see how this curse has passed down on the lives of these people and their children. There's two men hanging beside Jesus. They were bad men. They were thieves, right? They probably lived lives like we see different people live today here in the United States. Careless, indifferent. They didn't care about the laws. They did whatever they pleased. And just lived their lives according to their desires. Where did they end up? In prison. And now they're hanging on the cross. Their death was near. They have a choice to change their eternity. Do they go with the crowd or stand alone? With Jesus beside them, there's opportunity for life. They've heard all the stories. Maybe they've even witnessed miracles because, you know, thieves like crowds, and there was a lot of crowds around Jesus. But here they are dying today. What would you do? If you were to end up on death row because of a crime or a murder that you committed, what would you do to find peace and hope? Continue to live in your bitterness until you end up dead? Or call for mercy and ask for help and ask for forgiveness? So many times we have the answer right before us, right in front of us, but because of the different things in our life, the sins we've committed, the guilt and the shame that we feel in our lives, we don't reach out for the hope that Jesus gives. In Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened." One of the criminals who was hanged blasphemed Jesus, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and save us. But the other one answered, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed receive this justly, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into paradise, come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered and said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus is speaking to us this morning. For everyone who asks, it will be given. For everyone who seeks, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened. And Jesus explains this. He said, my Father in heaven, if you ask for bread, he won't give you a stone. If you ask for fish, he won't give you a serpent. In other words, Jesus is saying to us, he has all the answers. In his kingdom, I don't know, or I don't care, or even I don't have enough money. Jesus, I believe, is teaching us that we must have our faith in God. Jesus says, trust me. Amen? Trust me. Be persistent. Ask. Because those who press in receive. I was reminded of a trip that we took to the Caribbean. We were on a cruise back in the late 70s. And the Caribbean islands, when you get off the boat, you have a little boat, you come in and get off on the dock, these kids surround you. And I remember one instant where this little boy, he took my hand, and everywhere I went, he's walking with me. And he says, can I have a quarter? Can I have a quarter, Daddy-o? Can I have a quarter? He was persistent. Can I have a quarter? Can I have a dollar? And so out of my generous heart, I pull a quarter out of my pocket and give it to him. But he was persistent. All of a sudden, there's 6, 12, 20 kids surrounding me. And they're all saying, I want a dollar, Daddy-o. I want a dollar. I want a dollar. But what I'm telling you is that when we're persistent and ask the Lord, he hears us. I believe we can learn from this example. You don't receive if you don't ask. And being completely confident that who you're asking has the resources or the provision that you need. And also Jesus tells us again, you know, if you ask for bread, I'm not going to give you a stone. My Father in heaven, you know, the natural parent, if your son says, I want some bread, you don't hand him a stone. The natural parent doesn't give his son a serpent when he needs a little meat. He said, how much more does my Father in heaven know what you need? So how do we get to this story about three men hanging on a cross, dying? Simple. Not asking correctly, you will get nothing. And having a bad attitude, misusing the gospel, will get you a place in hell. On the other hand, a cry for help and repentance and honoring the Savior, a place in heaven. Doesn't matter how much you shout, how high you jump, how loud you are, what's your motive? You know, really, that thief beside Jesus who was bitter is a lot like many of us. Well, Jesus, you didn't answer my prayer. Why didn't I get this? How's come you didn't do this? I know you can do this. And we demand things from him. And the thief on the other side, Lord, remember me. I'm a thief. Just remember me when you get to your kingdom. So today, if you were on the cross beside Jesus, now, I want you to know this is not the message. This is just a little frosting on the cake. But the Holy Spirit prompted me to share this with you as I started studying this morning. But if you were that thief, one of those thieves on the cross, which one would you be? Don't answer too quickly now. Think about what you're ready to answer. Does it measure up with your life and what you speak? We as a church, as the church, we have been attacked. In America, all over the world, our faith has been put to the test. In the last year and a half especially, but even before that, we have been attacked. We have had the enemy come into our camp. We have had the enemy come into our camp and try to take things away from us. And sad to say, it looks like he took many things away from us. People are fearful. And some of them have gotten quick fixes to try to satisfy that fear. But I want you to know that fear is still around. And the enemy will keep shoving that fear in your face until you turn your faith toward the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we need resilient faith today, because we need to bounce back from the things that have happened to us personally, to the church over the last year and a half. What is the Lord speaking today? Just be quiet. Don't do anything. Sit still. No. He said, press on. Speak. Don't quit. Don't go with the crowd. We have to make a difference. And we need to stand our ground. Hallelujah. Resilient faith means that a person or a people, that we withstand or recover quickly from difficult situations and conditions. Are we those kind of people, church? Are we the kind of people that bounce back quickly, that move ahead even in circumstances that look impossible? Do we stand up for our freedom? As people of the United States of America, where we have freedom of speech, we have freedom of worship, are we the kind of people that will stand up and defend that? Are we resilient enough to bounce back from the enemy's attack to try to stop the church? If you really believe we are, then I believe there's steps that God wants us to take. And now I can get to the message, Pastor. Hallelujah. There are three C's: the call, coming into that call, and connecting with the call. And God is calling us all of the time. There's a call that goes out to all people all over the world every moment that we're breathing. Hallelujah. He wants us to become involved in Him, with Him. I want you to have a relationship. I want to fellowship with you. I want to work in your life. I have a ministry for you. I have a leadership position for you. I have a place where you can meet one-on-one with people. This is the call that He's putting out to you, the church, to me. In Isaiah 55 and verse 6, 7, and 8, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It's life to us today. Every day, every moment that we breathe, your word is life. And Father, I want you to open up everyone's heart and spirit today to receive your word in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God is calling us. The first call is calling you to an abundant life. What did He say there in Isaiah? Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Hallelujah. You know, his thoughts are not the way we think. Our ways are not the way he thinks. But I believe that he wants us to get closer and closer where our thoughts align with the Word of God. You know, so many times the enemy comes and he tries to pull us away from the Word of God to think something different than what the Word says. That's what the Western church has done, the liberal church has done in these past 20, 30 years, if they've appeased the crowd instead of standing strong on the Word of God. And we are paying the price today. In Canada, they're shutting down churches. They're arresting pastors all over. They've tried to close the Word of God, shut down the Word of God. But we as the people of God cannot stop. We must press on. We must move into uncharted territory, things that are new to us. And I believe this is what God is saying to the church today. You cannot do things or stay the way you were 10 years ago or a year ago. You like the results you're having in your life? Then you have to change what you're doing. Because if not, next year at this time, you will be exactly where you are today. And God is asking us to take a step and answer the call. Hallelujah. There's another call. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Pastor, you was dabbling there in the message this morning. Let's read it. Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. Come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Amplified says you will find renewal and blessed quiet for your souls. Hallelujah. And the New Living says, let me teach you. Let me teach you my ways. See, God is asking us to come to him, lay down our burdens, lay down our worries, lay down all our cares, and pick up and come into unity with his word and what he has to teach us, and learn from him the example that he set. Hallelujah. Come into my presence and you will find rest. You know, there was a rest for the children of Israel. They heard the word, but they didn't obey the word, and they never found that rest. You can read it in Hebrews 4, I think, verses 1 and 2. There's a rest that's prepared for you and me. And we don't have to worry what's happening out in the world. We don't stick our head in the sand and not know what's going on, but we don't have to worry about what's happening out there, because we have faith in the Lord our God. And when we're knocked down, we're going to get back up. We're not going to stop. We're not going to quit, church. Amen. I see some of you. I know your stories. I know when you were laying flat on the ground, and now you're worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. That's a great, great testimony. Praise the Lord. Because I'm preaching two sermons, I will hurry. Hallelujah. Not really. But God is always calling us. Come to me. Fact is, in John 7, 37 and 38, Jesus cries out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of water. You know, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, which wasn't poured out at that time, but today the Holy Spirit is here in our presence, and it's possible for rivers of living water to flow out of our life to others. And we come together to be strengthened, so when we go out those doors, even though we know the enemy attacks us and comes against us, that there will be something in our life that will flow the other direction and knock down the enemy and cripple the enemy, and that there will be life that comes forth. Hallelujah. See, again, excuse me, Jesus is showing us that during uncertain times, if we come to him, that we have the victory. Showing us when we're confused, when we feel hopeless, that we come to him, that we'll have the victory. Hallelujah. See, this call is come to Jesus to find what? Salvation. Come to Jesus and find rest. And if we can hear it, if we can hear that call and we're willing to answer that call, he says that he will give us what? Many, many things, you know? We become complete in him. Again, free from sin, free from guilt, free from shame, free from condemnation. What did the law say to the woman that was caught in adultery? They wanted to stone her. The law said she needed to be stoned. But Jesus said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. No condemnation when we come to Jesus. No accusations when we come to Jesus. I used this word yesterday, but God eradicates our sinful past life. And the word eradicate means that it completely disappears. God doesn't remember it. It's wiped off the slate. It's not there anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there's another call that's going out. In John 15, 16, it's a very, very popular word, very common word. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And this call is for you to engage in the Father's business, the work of the Lord, in the kingdom of God. Yes, first we have to answer the call in our lives for salvation, for forgiveness. Then we answer the call to come to him and rest and find that peace so we can be restored, so that we can be strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah, I think it's 40. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We come to him, we find rest. But the third call is that we pick up the torch. Hallelujah. And we let the light shine for Jesus. That we engage in the work that he's chosen for you and me. See, it says here very clearly, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And I've called you. Hallelujah. I've called you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Hallelujah. And that your fruit should remain so that we have what? Power in our prayers when we pray. So that the Lord hears our prayers when we pray. That there's a foundation in our prayers so when we pray, it goes straight to the throne of God. Hallelujah. But we put ourselves out there, wherever that is, and put it in gear and do what God has told us to do. We see these flags on the wall, and my wife and I have been to all of those nations and except a couple of those flags and ministered in those nations and even more than that. Not bragging, but saying that when we said yes to Jesus, that he took us places we thought we would never go. But you as a church have been a part of us going and sending us out, and we thank you so much. And we just can't wait to get back out there. But so many restrictions right now that we are stopped from going, or if we went, like to the Philippines, we're stuck for 21 days before we can do anything. We're quarantined. But God says, go. You still need to go. So pray with us. God has called you and chosen you to bear fruit. That means that you involve yourself in God's work long enough that when you plant an apple tree or an orange tree, if you will, that you take care of that plant and you nurture that plant until it produces fruit. That there's apples on the tree and there's oranges on the tree. Hallelujah. You were called to be fruitful. Faithful to the call of God until you see results being a disciple. Are you a leader? Are you a minister? Are you a worker in the kingdom? It doesn't matter wherever God has placed you. You must engage. Hallelujah. You must engage. Some people look at the tree and say, there's no fruit there. Let's cut it down. No, no, no. Wait. Wait upon the Lord. You will see fruit come forth. Hallelujah. It's a promise of God. And then what I really like is that last part, that there's power in our prayers, because when we gather together and we pray, that we have the storms behind us and the storms in front of us, but neither one of them move or change who we are, then we pray and we see the wheels of heaven moving for your life. Hallelujah. For my life, for our situation, your situation. So we find that we must come into the call. We can't stand outside of the call and say, I know God's chosen me. I know he wants me to bear fruit, but I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. No, no, we come into that call. And we find that place where God has called us, where we can be useful. It's not all of you are not going to be up behind this pulpit. But some of you may be in other nations. Some of you may be down the street or Walmart, and God has placed you there to connect you to people who need to hear about Jesus. Hallelujah. My mother had a motto. I've shared this before, but I love telling it because I had a godly mother. But it was a motto on the wall. And it was just printed with, there was a paint markers way back 60 years ago. It was a big fad. Everybody used paint markers. But my mother had this motto. It said, only one life for Christ. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I didn't know it, but every time I walked through that doorway and that motto was hanging here, it registered something here. So moms and dads, don't be afraid to put up Christian sayings all over your house, because your children are going to see that. It's going to record in their minds. Hallelujah. That was just a little extra for you there. But the only rewards that we're going to receive are eternal life, salvation, right? Accepting Jesus as our Savior and what we do for the kingdom of God. Eternal punishment is reserved for those who are lazy, disobedient, for the sinners. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things, all of the things that you desire, all of the things that you pray about, Lord, I need this, I need that, I need this, and you put them before the plan of God, and you don't receive them. And Pastor said this morning, I'm glad I didn't receive everything I asked for. But when you put the kingdom of God first and you walk in right standing with him, then the things that you need and even the desires of your heart are added into your life, into your family. Hallelujah. What does righteousness or right living do for me? What does it do for you? We find favor and grace in the eyes of the Lord. I want to read something out of Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Pretty simple. Verse 11 says, the whole world was corrupt, filled with violence before the Lord. Noah lived a life of righteousness in a corrupt, violent world amongst corrupt people. He was very resilient in his faith, because I know they mocked him and they scorned him when he was building that ark. Said, you crazy old man, what are you doing? It's never rained. You're telling us there's going to be a flood. It's never rained. He took a beating. He was criticized, but he didn't stop there. He arose. He stayed strong. And chapter 7, in verse 1, it says, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all of your household, because I have seen that you are a righteous before me in this generation. Rewards for obedience. There's rewards for obedience. the call of God and embracing that call requires us living a life, number one, that's different from the world. Boy, you're quiet this morning. You're quiet, but it's true. Living a life and working in the work of the Lord requires you and me to be different than those people out there who don't know Jesus and don't live for Jesus. We are called to live differently. I know we don't like to hear that. I'm sorry. But there's a world that's violent. There's a world that's corrupt. There's a world that's speaking nasty things. We don't want to identify with them. Number two, living a life that's pleasing to God. Right living with God, because God is always watching us. You can try to hide, but you're not going to hide from God. Number three is doing the work of an evangelist. It starts right at home with your family. You don't have to go to the other parts of the world to start being an evangelist. And number four is showing people by example God's love. It's love in your life that you operate in mercy and grace with them as well as with your family. There's compassion in your heart, hallelujah. And there's one more, and we don't like this one, but number five is being willing to be ridiculed and persecuted for our beliefs. For believing that God's word, the Bible, is true. For believing that Jesus came into this world and gave his life and rose again and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and me, that we would believe that and accept him as our Savior. Being ridiculed for that. For believing that he's coming again. Oh, you're crazy. You really think that guy's coming back? No, you guys are crazy. But when you are connected to the call of God to be a disciple and an ambassador for the kingdom of God, it's worth it even if it costs you your life. In Revelation 12:11, we know what that says. And they overcame him, the enemy, the devil, by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We just stop there and we don't read that last part. And they were not afraid to die for their testimony. See, we're living in a day when corruption has gone wild, violence has gone wild. And they're coming after us, the church, the believers. And there's going to be violence. I'm just warning you. It's true. It's prophesied in the Word of God. I'm not trying to put fear in you. We're going to be raptured out before it gets real bad. But can you stand? Our Wednesday night meetings, services are about thriving in Babylon, not surviving, but thriving. In other words, living above and beyond the things that are happening and living a life that's victorious for the Lord. This is what the Lord is speaking to the church today. Are you willing to stand up and stand above all of that? Like Noah did it took him, 100 plus years to build that ark. The violence didn't stop. When God called him, it was a violent world. When he went into the ark, it was still violent. And for those years that he was there, he was living, what? In righteousness. Ooh, hallelujah. He wasn't afraid. You know, the call of God requires connection. We have to be connected to the throne room, but also to the work. We have to make ourselves familiar with the work that he's called us to engage in. But he also connects us to people. We are connected to people. It requires sacrifice. It requires pain and disappointment. Let's look at Paul's life for a few moments. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 to 28, I think I had that on the paper. Hallelujah. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. If you would, please. Let's go 25. Hallelujah. See if they can find that. Really, he's telling us he was left to die. He was stoned. He was what? Very resilient. What does resilient mean? He was bounced back from a terrible thing. Bouncing back. That's all right, guys. Let's just pass. Let's move on. But he connected to God, and he wasn't going to allow the things of this earth to stop him. And most of us, including myself, if I was beaten 5 times, 39 stripes minus one, I'm not sure if I'd be able to get back up again. And I would throw my hands up and say, it's not worth it. In the natural, that's what we would say. But Paul had a vision of who he was in Christ. Hallelujah. He had a vision of who he was. He had a vision for the purpose that God had called him. He knew that God had a plan for him. And whether it cost his life, it didn't matter. Because he got back up again. He kept on. He kept pressing on. Moving on. It tells us in Hebrews, talks about chapter 11 of all of the patriarchs and all of the saints who went through different things, but they didn't all receive the promise. Some of them were persecuted, cut in two, sawed in half. It tells us all of those things. And then 12 verse 1, it says, therefore, seeing we have such what a cloud of witnesses, there's a whole bunch of people that were before us. And verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. There was pain involved. But he had a goal. He had a goal. And as I close this morning, God wants us to have a goal in our life. Proverbs, it speaks very plainly that people without a vision perish. If we have no reason for living, we want to give up. But we have a reason for living. Hallelujah. We have a purpose for this life. God has a plan for you. And it doesn't matter what you have done yesterday. Today is a new day. Hallelujah. In fact, it's before you came to church this morning. Maybe you engaged in sin of some kind. If you stop that and accept the Lord and the call that he has for your life, he can eradicate all of those mistakes and all of those problems. Hallelujah. And you have a fresh start. Glory to God. He wants you to bounce back. He wants you to be strong. Hallelujah. We need to connect. And today it's so easy to connect with people because we have what? We have cell phones and internet and Facebook. And we can text and it goes on and on and on. 100 years ago, it wasn't that way. 70, 50, what, 30 years ago, internet was started, somewhere like that. But now we can connect with people not only here across the neighborhood, but in the other parts of the world. It's so easy. But God's response to us is even faster than any of those. When we cry to him and when we call on him, we say, Lord, forgive me. His response is immediately. We don't have to wait and read something. When we say, yes, Lord, I'm ready to do your work, his response is, yes, I've called you. Hallelujah. I'm ready for you to engage. So we need to connect with him in repentance. Make him Lord of our lives. We need to answer the call of God and become a disciple, an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven. We need to come into relational experiences in the Holy Spirit that equip us with power and authority to do the work of God. So when we put it all together, we need to answer the call of God. That's really, really primary. In whatever way he calls us, in whatever way he talks to you and is calling you to come forth, I don't believe that we as a church can sit still any longer. We can't do the same thing that we did yesterday. We have to come forth and hear the word of the Lord and answer that call. As resilient people, I believe, as Google tells me, okay? They are aware of situations, their own emotional reactions, and the behavior of those around them. So by remaining aware, I believe we can maintain what's happening in our situations, and we can think of ways that the Holy Spirit can go in and solve those problems and take care of those problems. And I believe in most cases, resilient people will come forth stronger than they were before the problems happened. As long as our faith is in Christ. Hallelujah. If your faith is not in Christ, I was thinking of Jesus said, we're going the other side to get in the boat. They were going over to across the lake and the storm came up. We know that the disciples became afraid because the boat was taking water. They were about to sink. And where's Jesus? He's sleeping. Because he's not worried. And he comes awake, gets up there, says, peace, be still. The storm stopped, is peaceful. And he looks at the disciples and he says, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Why didn't you guys do that? Why didn't you calm the storm? See, and I think that's exactly where we're at today. There's a storm raging. It's not going to stop until we take authority over that storm ourselves, because the baton has been passed on to us. Jesus said to Peter, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. There's authority that has been given to you and me. So the storms that are happening and all the problems that we see taking place, unless you take authority over it, you're going to live in it. And you're going to be fearful, discouraged. Hallelujah. But the Lord says to this couple, hallelujah, the service. I know the service. I know what you have done in the past. He's releasing. I heard him speak very plainly to me about you too. He said, I'm releasing a new anointing for the next chapter. For the next chapter. Ooh, hallelujah. I like that. I like that. He's doing something. He's doing something. Hallelujah. And I don't want to go anywhere without the anointing, without the Holy Spirit's anointing, because if I don't have the anointing, I'm afraid, okay? I just shrink back to being that Amish boy from Cologne. Not really. But with the anointing of God, we can cross the seas, we can cast out demons, we can lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We can see people walk that couldn't walk. We cast out demons. We saw them all over Martinique, the island of Martinique. If I preached like I did this morning, people would be shaking in their chairs, falling out of their chairs, foaming at the mouth. God has put the authority in your hands. Are you going to rise up? Are you going to rise up and answer the call? Hallelujah. Or are you going to stay silent? Hallelujah. I want to be obedient for a moment here. Can I do that? Hallelujah. For this young man and whoever's sitting beside you, is that your wife? Praise God. The Lord has picked you out of all of these people to encourage you and to tell you that there's a mighty call on your life for the work of God. And I don't know what that means, across the street, a workplace, or wherever. But there's an appointment for you. And when it's for you, it's for your wife. It's for your family. And God's going to raise you up in this day to make a difference. You say, how do I do that? I don't know. You call on God. He'll show you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Hallelujah. I got a couple more minutes, praise God. Couple more. Hallelujah. You know, I enjoy preaching and teaching the word because it's something the Lord's put in me. My most comfortable position is not necessarily standing in front of strangers or friends. It is doing what God has called me to do. So we know that God has called us to many different places, and we believe there's new places that God is opening doors for us even as I speak. We don't know how that's going to take place, but we know when we trust Him that things change. Amen. Hallelujah. For some reason, brother, the Lord has just turned me towards you. There's steps. I see steps in front of you. I see them quite often, but I don't just see one or two. Most of the time I see three steps because God has three steps, but the Lord showed me a lot of steps. It's like in the spirit, I feel like you fell down those steps in the past, but you're here today because the Lord says you're going to start back up those steps again. And the authority is being released in you in a way that you didn't think was possible. That's what God is saying. All right, take that and trust God with that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone here that needs to answer the call of God for salvation? Remember, there's threefold call. Call for salvation, for your life, for your soul. A call for you to find rest from all of those worries and things that bother you and upset you. And a call to engage in His work. First of all, I want to give a call for salvation. If you're here, Brent, come, and actually worship team, come. You did awesome this morning. Will you come, worship team? What are you here today and you've never asked the Lord Jesus to come into your heart? You've never asked Him to be your Savior? This is one of the greatest opportunities for you because we're a family here. We love you. We care about you. We won't put any pressure on you, but this is eternity. This is for eternity. If you're here today and say, I really need to have Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I need to ask Him to forgive me of my sins. If that's you, just raise your hand. We'll pray for you. Just raise it up. Raise them up. Put it down. Thank you for those hands. Now, Lord, for those who've asked you to come into their lives, if you want to pray with me, you can do it silently. You can do it loud. We say, Lord, we come to you. We ask you to forgive us of our sins, our mistakes. We want to make you our Savior. We want to live for you. We want to change our lives. We want to be pure before you. We don't want to be like that thief that mocked you. We're saying, remember me, Lord. Today, in the name of Jesus. There's others of you, you can't find any rest. You've struggled. You answer that call to come to the Lord and find rest for your soul. It doesn't matter what it is, how old you are, how young you are. If anyone here, just raise your hand. You say, I need to come into the present. Thank you. There's many of you. We're going to pray. And Lord, right now, we have tried to figure it out. We've tried to do it on our own. We've taken up matters that aren't ours. And today we bring all that mess and we lay it at your feet. And please forgive us for trying to do it all. But we desperately need you to teach us how to be free and how to live for you. And we give you the glory in the name of Jesus. And the third call, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. There's some of you here that God has called into them, maybe the fivefold ministry or the ministry of helps, and you've sat back for years and you've done nothing. Today you're saying, I want to be involved in the work of God in some way, some part. If that's you, raise your hands with me. I see those hands. I see them all over the place. We're going to pray and ask the Lord to show you how. We have a great team of leaders here, pastors. We have a great team here that will help you if you will come to them, submit yourselves to them, and say, how can I help? I believe God has called me to speak the word in some way. Romans 10 talks about how can they hear without a preacher? How can they hear unless you're sent? You know. So we're going to pray with you, Father, right now for those of all of us here in this congregation that know that you have a plan for us, that you are calling us to a place of ministry, whether it's speaking with our neighbor, working at Walmart or a gas station or whatever, Lord, or behind the pulpit. We want to be obedient to you today, Lord. So forgive us for holding back. Forgive us for speaking but never doing anything. Help us engage. Put it in gear for you, Lord. Help us to do something that is effective and brings honor and glory to you and your kingdom. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we all stand as our worship leader leads us today. Thank you for your attention and your patience. We believe that God is moving. This is no time to sit back. No time to do nothing. This is the time to engage in the work of the Lord. God bless you.